found everywhere you can listen to podcasts. It's Caffeinated and Confused with Hannah.
That's a very confusing time for any young lady.
My dad yesterday was like, so I've been listening to your latest podcast. I'm like, please don't.
Please don't.
Yeah. I'm like, that is one episode you don't need to know some of the things that... that we discussed. All right, Matt Stell, welcome to the pod.
Oh, so glad to be here.
Are you caffeinated? Are you confused?
I'm both of those things, yeah.
Perfect.
And gonna get more of both.
I love that.
As the day goes on.
I love that for you. What is your most confusing time of day?
Mornings, for sure. I am not a morning person. I envy morning people. I think being a morning person is like a cheat code for life.
Seriously.
If you're a morning person, you can do anything.
I feel like those people who, like, I'll go on group trips with friends, and you know the friends who literally just get up and they're just in a good mood?
Yeah.
Like, what's that like?
Yeah,
I just would never know.
Dislike that.
Yeah. You're the one who's just mad at those people. Like, yeah. Stop being so happy.
Exactly. The caffeinated part really, really helps my, I've learned, you know, I think really, I keep quiet in the mornings, you know, right when I get up. And people, like, I think assume that that's like, I'm mad or something, but I'm really just trying to like keep it together because I hate the morning.
I know. I'm the same way. I had to do the morning show yesterday as well, and people were on the text line because I do the afternoon show.
Yeah.
So I'm like hyped by that point.
Right.
Yesterday morning at 6 a.m. and everyone's going, what's wrong with Hannah? Why is she so quiet? I'm like, because I'm freaking tired.
Because it's, the earth hasn't turned far enough yet.
I'm like,
today.
The sun isn't even fully up yet and you expect me to be fully awake? Like,
right.
That's just not going to happen. But hey, we're here. We're doing it. We're doing our best.
Absolutely, we are.
And that's all that matters. So on my podcast every week, I like to start it with a pit and peak.
Yes.
Of the week. So like your high and your low of the last week. I'll go first because I know I just sprung it on you, so you might not remember. I think my pit of the week is that I had to wake up at the crack of dawn yesterday morning. No one should ever have to set their alarm for 3:45 in the morning.
Yeah. That should not even be a feature
on
your phone.
Like, it should just, an alarm should go off and it should say, you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, this is not how life is meant to be lived.
Truly. Like, it's just, it ain't right. Mm-hmm. I don't need to ever do that again. And my peak is that I had two Galentine's celebrations this week.
Nice.
And I just feel like anytime you get to spend with your gals.
That's right.
We drank margaritas on Monday.
Uh-huh.
And then we had, so I have a book club with like 15 girls. So I'm not going to lie. This is a confession. This is the first time I haven't read the book.
Oh, no.
I read it every month, but this month was just too busy. But it was a book about a girl killing her boyfriend. So, like, I have to read it because that's right up my alley.
Yeah, I was going to say, the book is just called The Boyfriend Did It.
I think it's called, like, I'll Kill You or something like that. We were like, that seems like a good book for Valentine's Day book club with a bunch of girls.
Absolutely. That's always the person of interest is always the significant other.
I feel like the men half the time deserve it, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they half the men, they deserve all those Carrie Underwood songs.
Yeah, exactly. Like, good girl.
Exactly.
He's no good girl.
Like, yeah, but then also she has a pretty high body count. You know, she's killed more people in her songs than like...
That's true.
Than like, you know, 50 Cent.
That's true. And she's in like a happy, healthy marriage with two children and she's just out here singing about keying cars.
Just murking dudes.
Yeah.
Just stacking them up like stove wood.
I feel like you can do that then though when you very much don't give off the vibe that you would key a car. So then she can get away with it when, like, secretly maybe she is a girl who keys cars out.
Counterpoint, I think Carrie Underwood gives off. If you were going to line up people, like, who would do that and who wouldn't, I don't know Carrie or anything, but I get the vibe that she knows her way around a, you know, a paint job on a pickup.
That's honestly, I
love that song.
I feel like, I know it's such a good song. I feel like I'm a big talker where I'll be like, I'm going to ruin that guy, blah, 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 but I never actually would. But I think at one point in life, I want to slash some tires. But you know you're only supposed to slash three because then insurance won't cover it or something? Like if you slash, have you ever heard this?
No.
So if you're ever going to key like a man's or slash a guy's tire, a person's tire, then you're only supposed to do three. I think, because then they have to pay for it. I don't know. I think I read that somewhere. Just a hot tip.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming
but like I said, I have never done it, but there are plenty of people who deserve it. So maybe I'll get out there and slash some tires today.
Yeah. The Green Bay Slasher.
Yeah.
You'll have like a name.
Yeah. I like that.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm going to go with it. So that's my pit and peak.
Great. All right.
Pretty easy.
Yeah. My pit this week was what was my pit this week? I have, like, you know, these are relative pits. Like, I don't have any, like, real ones. I was inconvenienced somewhere, probably at an airport. I had the TSA screening at a really small airport took way too long.
That's the worst.
And I have pre-check. I've got everything, you know. And I'm a, like, I forget sometimes when I go through airports that some people don't live at airports. And, mm-hmm. like, I know the, like, if the rental car station is attached to these different airports, I know where food is in these places. I know which airports are easy to get around. Like, I know most every airport. And what bothers me is like, these inefficiencies. But I forget that some people, like, they fly, like, once a year, not that much.
Or just once ever.
Yeah, once ever. I have status on 3 different airlines. So,
wow, mad flex.
Yeah, right. So I travel a lot. So, like, when people are, and the TSA line will kind of get you, you know, most people that are TSA travel a lot, you know, if you listeners surely know that, like, there's 2 lines. But when the TSA folks are not great at getting us through, I have a guitar everywhere I go. And so, sometimes, you know, now there's these automated things that always has to be hand checked, and that, you know, whatever, that's fine. And then my boots have metal in them, so I have to take them off even in the pre-check line. And then sometimes my bag gets flagged for no reason, and I have to sit there and wait on them to get somebody over there. Dude, it took like 25 minutes, and there were like 5 people. I wasn't busy, and 5 people in line. And I just sitting there going, like, at this point, I think I know how to do TSA job. I think,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, you could probably do it better than some of
I'm
the
just
people
like,
who do it.
Tap me in.
Yeah.
Tap me. I will come help y'all.
Yeah.
You know?
And why are they always in a bad mood, too? I feel like there are some airports where they're nice, but then there's some who are just so crabby. It's like, I don't want to be doing this either.
Counterpoint. The only thing worse than somebody being in a bad mood is somebody being in too good of a mood.
Oh, my God. I actually 1,000% agree with that.
We had a guy. Bubba's in here, my record label. Sony Bubba's in here.
Hey, Bubba.
And, Bubba operates out of the Baltimore airport a lot now. But in Nashville, there was a TSA guy. And, I mean, it was this, like, white-haired, like, kind of, like, you know, sort of grandpa guy. But he was over the top happy at, like, 4:30 a.m. And I would see him there multiple times. He'd be like, how's everybody doing? Oh, let's take a look at that ID. Your hair looks great in this. Come on through. And just, like, all of that kind of thing. Sorry, I just yelled in your mic, but that's how angry
you had to get. Yeah, you had to get it across.
It was, like, so much. And I would just get up there, and I was like, bro, the last thing I want right now, I don't need a performance right now. What I need for you to do is just to take this ID. I don't even need words. I need hand signals to get me through here, because your positive mood is doing violence to my existence. And
that's so true, though. I remember specifically going through, like, a Starbucks drive-thru one time, and mm-hmm. the person, even in the speaker, was just so, like, hello, and blah. I'm like, okay, whatever. And then you get to the window, and it's 10 times as worse. And I was with my friend, and we pulled away. I'm like, am I going to hell for being annoyed by that?
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly. Like, I shouldn't. Again, we both know, listeners, that these are relative pits.
Yes, yes.
It's not that deep of a pit, but, you know.
But it's you know, something that people can relate to.
Yeah,
it's relatable.
Absolutely. Just wanting to tear your hair out because somebody's too happy.
Too peppy. I feel like we've been talking about, we're clearly not morning people because we're just sitting over here.
And another thing I don't like about morning. My peak is coming tonight at midnight Eastern, 11 Central. I got Born Lonely hits the, I don't know when this is going to drop, but
this will drop today. So,
oh, perfect. Well, Born Lonely hits the DSPs and everything at midnight tonight. So it's a song I'm proudest of that I've ever written. You know, we were just talking about it at the morning show. It's like, I wrote 1,000 songs to write this song, and it was so true that it kind of embarrasses you a little, or embarrasses me a little bit. Used to put it out there, but that's how I knew I needed to put it out there. So,
do you get more embarrassed? So I don't get embarrassed about being vulnerable with strangers.
Mm-hmm.
Like with my podcast, you know, I very much open up about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't care about people I don't know listening to it. It's the people that I do know that's like when I get embarrassed, because I don't know why, because they mostly know everything anyway. But do you feel that too, or is it just putting it out there to everybody?
No, for sure. Well, you know, your close friends or something, you know, you kind of like care what they think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And whereas, you know, people that you're not close with or strangers or stuff like that, it's not, it doesn't hit the same way because you're just not close, you know, with that sort of person. So, I think I know exactly what you're talking about.
So I could be in a room full of strangers I don't know, and I could tell them all my deepest, darkest secrets and, like, be super vulnerable. But then when it comes to people I know, I'm like, oh, that gives me the ick a little bit for myself. Like, I don't want you guys to know all
100%.
That stuff.
I think that's probably most folks are that way. You know, it's the people you care what they think.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. I feel like I can get better at not caring, though, but...
Yeah, I wish I used to be the cousin. I don't care. You know, I do. I care. I care what people think. You know, it's like, and when you're doing what we do, and like when you're, you know, a public, you know, person to some degree, or like, you know, with me, I'm putting out art into the world. It's so easy for folks to hate on it, and they will, and they do. But like you said, it's like, it's not that stuff that bothers me the most. It would be like if I hurt somebody's feelings with, you know, like with this song, Born Lonely, not to keep going back to it, but, you know, this song talks about my folks being split up in it pretty prominently. And my mom's one of my best friends, and I had great parents. I have great step parents, and I'm not saying that I would change those situations, but I was also like, didn't want her thinking that I had a bunch of like, you know, animosity towards her because of stuff that happened that she, you know, didn't have a whole lot of control over, and B was just doing her best.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, so that's exactly what you said. Like, I cared about what she thought the most. But at the end of the day, you know, you just kind of have to set a bar for yourself and reach that bar and let the chips fall where they may.
For sure. When you wrote that song, did you send it to your parents? Or did you, like, tell them that you had written a song about it?
Yeah, my dad passed away a few years ago, but I sent it to mom. I wrote it twice, actually. I wrote it by myself. I had the title, wrote it by myself, and then I went into a writer's room with a couple of guys that I really like, and we were talking, and he had this vibe kind of brought up, and we were talking about some of the same stuff, and I was at a point where I was done with my last, like, iteration of my like, I had a big overhaul, let's just say, in my, like, music business side, you know. And I was just coming out of that, and I was feeling like really free to write whatever I wanted and to try to really tell the truth as opposed to doing some bullshit that somebody thought people would like, and which is, anyway, that's a different story. But I went into this writer's room and got a vibe going, you know, with some guitars. I was like, guys, I wrote this song the other day. I really like the title. I don't know if the song is there yet, but if y'all would want to write this title, that I've already have this song written. And if our version's better, that'll be the one that I use, or that'll be the one that goes into the pile to cut. But if I like mine better, that I already did, I'll just keep it. But just so y'all know. And they were like, yeah, cool. And we sat down there and wrote that song, and it got so much better, man. Benji Davis and Jake Mitchell and I wrote that, and they helped me. It's like... Sometimes when you're talking, like as we're talking right now, you'll have an idea in your head, and once you say it to another person, and especially once you do it a few times, that idea really starts to crystallize and gets better. You know what I mean? It gets more concise. And so that's sort of what happened. And so I had those ideas, and I bounced it off them, and the meat stayed, and then the other stuff, you know, moved on. And I was really, really proud of it. So that song got written twice.
I also feel like with social media, obviously it's can be a hot mess at times, but I do feel like, because a big trend on TikTok, and I know you post a lot of videos of your songs before they come out with the lyrics on the screen, and I almost feel like that's helped people appreciate more vulnerable songs now, and songs that have the meaning behind it. Because I mean, I'm not a songwriter, but I know as you being a songwriter, that's the biggest part, you know, is to the lyrics and the story behind the song. So do you feel like people are seeing that more with the stuff on social media?
I think so. I mean, it's a way to reach people, you know, in a different way. I don't love doing it, just to be honest with you. And I really don't love doing the like lip singing in my truck stuff.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is you just have to, and because if you don't, that's just somebody else's song that's getting caught in that algorithm or whatever. And it's just the reality of it. And, you know, you could not like it, but, you know, you show up to work every day too, you know. It's like that kind of thing. So, but I do think that it's, you know, a song, especially a song like that, that means so much to me. Or like, you know, like the radio single, like right now, Breaking in Boots, which is much more of like a, you know, fun, you know, heartbreak banger, I would, you know, mm-hmm. if I can compliment myself. But that's what I was trying to do. And like those songs are, there's just a way to get them out in the world. And I do work really hard on the lyric, you know, and so having it on the screen, this is a long way to say yes, having it on the screen where people can engage with the lyric a little more like visually and hear it. It really does, especially on the songs that that are the lyric is what matters a lot. Yeah. It really does help, yeah.
I've always been the girl who, back in the day, mm-hmm. I would buy the CD and I would open the booklet and I would listen to all the songs and read the lyrics along with it. So, like, yeah. I've always been more of a lyric over music type of person, but mm-hmm. I know there are so many people who will only listen to a song if it has a good beat. So I just kind of love that this is forcing people, I guess, to be captured by the words too of a song.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, even as a songwriter who I want the words to do most of the lifting. I know as a songwriter, the words really complement the melody. So when people hear, like, you know, I love Nate Smith, and he's one of the biggest sweethearts in the world. And when you hear World on Fire, you would like that song no matter what they're saying, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because it sounds so good and the melody is so cool. I love alternative music from the 2000s and the 90s, right? But I'll be 100% honest with you. I don't know what a lot of those songs, even to this day, are saying. You know what I mean? A lot of that stuff, which is a different kind of writing, is just these words fitting into to stuff that sound good, or it's just so poetic and esoteric that you can... The less specific a song is, the more you can put your own stuff.
Yeah, that's very true.
On it. Like, so you can, so when, like, wish you could step out from that ledge, my friend, you know, capsize with all the lies that you've been living in. Right. That Third Eye Blind song, that says something, but it also is like a framework for you to put whatever your ledge is, you know,
that's
whatever
very true.
The lies that you've been living in. Whereas, which is a great way to write songs. Country music a lot of times is more specific, and they're both cool ways, but just as we're sitting here talking, you know, it is very much any way people can get the lyric more, you know, to me it kind of is kind of a benefit, you know.
And that song, I mean, literally you just saying the words. Any other song, if someone talks the lyrics, I can't imagine the song in my head, mm-hmm. but when you sing that's like, wish you would step back, like, it's just mm-hmm. kind of ingrained. That's a great song. I need to listen to that today.
Yeah.
It's been a hot minute since I've heard that song. Oh,
Third Eye Blind, yeah.
What's your go-to karaoke song? Do you do karaoke?
Yeah, I will if the tequila and the Bush Light
if the
gets
booze
rolling.
Is flowing.
Yeah, I very seldom, but, you know, it depends on who I'm with. But one time Ingrid Andress and Tennille Arts and I got up and did Strawberry Wine somewhere one time. That was fun. And then, but my go-to song is Purple Rain.
Ooh.
Yeah. Here's a pro tip for all you karaoke singers out there. Pick a song that is in a key that naturally fits your voice, where you don't have to, like, move it around.
You would think that would just be common knowledge.
You would, but even, like, good singers, you'll find a song that you really like and that you really want to sing and that gets the crowd going. But karaoke is always going to sound, you're never going to be able to hear yourself well.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to pick something that you could kind of get out of. And for me, Purple Rain is in the key of B, even though Prince is singing it like kind of an octave higher than I am a lot of times. I sing a lot of my stuff, a lot of my music that I cut and play live is in the key of B. And so I just know that. But anyway, there's some karaoke game for free.
My go-to, I have two of them. Number one, Drops of Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
Just
gets
the people going.
What's that song even about?
I have no idea.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the thing.
You have the bridge is the best part of the song.
Uh-huh.
Where they're like,
nah, 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 nah.
Yeah.
Nah, 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 nah.
The part where they're singing about, now I can't think of it. I hate when I can't think of the song. You know what I'm talking about? The end of the song where he talks about coffee.
Yeah. I'm rated. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
Dump, bang it.
Yep. Yeah. Correct.
Tell me.
Yep. Great song.
Did the wind sweep you off your feet? Yeah. Like,
Did it? I don't know.
I did it? Yeah. What?
In what? That's the one, though, that you can take that anyway. Did it physically sweep you off your feet? That'd be wild. You'd probably be dead because you'd be, like, in a tornado.
Right.
Or did it metaphorically?
You'd be in a Carrie Underwood song.
Could be in a lot of songs with that. Yeah. But my other one that I recently discovered when I was on a bachelorette trip in Arizona last year is Gives You Hell, All American Rejects. Oh, what a great song. You can just scream at everyone singing along.
Yeah.
There's a lyric,
you know what it means.
Yeah. And I feel like everyone can, I just really spitefully sing that song too. Yeah. Like I would love to be in front of the men who have wronged me and just scream sing that song. I need to make that happen.
Yeah, it's like Toby Keith singing How Do You Like Me Now?
You know?
It's like the same kind of vibe.
It really is. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a good one. So
R.I.P.
Rip. Yeah, very, very sad. So yeah, I don't know how we even got on a karaoke tangent, but now I kind of want to go and do you want to know what else? Talking about people who just enjoy their life too much. The people who take karaoke too seriously.
Yeah.
You know, you're at a bar and they sign themselves up 10 times. And so it's like they're every other person and they're just up there letting her rip. It's like, can you let the people who are just here to have fun have a shot?
Yeah, yeah. And counterpoint, that especially sucks when they're not all that good.
Yes, exactly.
It's different when, you know, I think the karaoke people kind of like having those people because they have somebody singing all the time and they can be like, okay, here's Bubba singing, you know, Truck Yeah. And
Truck Yeah.
And Bubba wouldn't sing Truck Yeah. Bubba would sing Bubba Shot the Jukebox. That's what he was saying. Reckless Hell. Reckless Hell.
The southern accents in this room, they are present. Give me a Wisconsin accent.
A Wisconsin accent?
Is that how I said it?
A bag.
Garbage bag.
Somebody said golly gee willikers on the phone earlier, that a caller went, oh, golly gee willikers.
Was I here for that? Did you make that up just now?
I swear. It was in the studio.
Was I in there for that?
You weren't there yet.
You weren't there yet, maybe. And I was like,
wow, you're just making stories up now.
Somebody hit him with a GGW.
Golly gee willikers.
Yeah. Can I have another spotted cow? A spatted cow?
That wasn't great.
Spotted cow.
I think it's more like spotted cow.
Spotted cow.
That was a little bit. I don't even know what the first one.
I'm not trying to appropriate y'all's culture, you know.
No, that's all right. Hey, we're proud of it. We love spotted cow and cheese curds.
Yeah, I love all that too. I could be from up here.
I think you could.
I could be from up here.
I think you'd fit the vibe.
Yeah.
Remember when we brought you to the Black Saddle after our St. Jude Jam last year?
Hell yeah.
That was a fun night. It was your birthday.
It was my birthday.
Now you got to come back again for your birthday this year.
Go shouty.
We are dumping alcohol out for Mac Miller and broken engagements.
That's right. Broken engagements, Mac Miller. Yep, that's right. Because we were not far from the...
Where are you playing?
No, that is in Milwaukee. No,
the rave.
The rave. Yeah, where he signed the pool. Yeah. I've been down in there.
Yeah, I don't even know how Mac Miller came up that night, but then all night we just kept, every time we would get a new drink, we'd be like, pour one out for Mac Miller.
We were pouring our drinks in a bar floor. We should have been arrested.
We did put a towel down, though.
We did. We felt
so
bad.
Then we just started dumping it on
the towel. Towel down.
Just another Tuesday in Green Bay. We've had some times at bars in Green Bay between that and the Packer game.
Yeah, where I say the national anthem.
Yeah, that was a fun day.
You know something crazy about that is, do you remember? Were you up there when the pilots that did the flyover came in there?
Yes. Oh my gosh! Wait, you told me this story at the bar.
Please tell it about
how you dated one of them. Then.
Yeah. When I say I dated one of the pilots,
it was a female.
It's 20. Yeah. This is a lady pilot.
But hey, either way,
she's in a bunch of Air Force commercials, and I. So we talked and hung out, and she came like the one time we dated. I went and picked her up. The one time we ever hung out that wasn't just on the phone, I picked her up on Christmas Eve in Oklahoma City and drove her back home, and she spent Christmas with my family.
That's a big step.
Yeah, she was super cool though. You know, she.
And that was the first time you dated in person.
That was the only time we ever hung out.
And you brought her home for Christmas?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a wild move.
Yeah. I've done some wild moves in my life, but she's doing well.
And you guys met that day, right?
Met that day. She did it. Like, I was singing the anthem. She was one of the pilots that did the flyover. And we were up in that suite. And we got to talking. And I think at the time she was dating one of the other pilots.
Oh.
But this was way after that. This is way after that.
Yeah, I just remember being shook when you told me that at the Black Saddle that night. You were like, yeah, you know, I dated that. I was like, what? How did you guys, did you like talk on social media or how
did
that happen?
And she did a flyover at a golf event too that I was at one time. And so that was, yeah.
But I remember telling you, I'm like, imagine if that would have worked out. You could literally make a Hallmark movie about that. Like the national anthem singer at a historic NFL stadium and the woman who did the fly. Like, that's a pretty epic story.
That's a that's a crazy how I met your mother situation.
Yeah, that's wild. That would be so cool. I do want to know crazy dating stories. Do you? I feel like you would have some. Like, what is the craziest date you ever went on? Or have you ever had like a bad first date?
Yeah. I've had like, because when you I'm on the road so much, so you know I end up like meeting a lot of people online.
Yeah.
You know, I've never, nothing against them, like I'm all for them, like I'm where they work for people, but I've never had a dating app on my phone. I just like, you know, they just be chatting on Instagram or, you know, occasionally TikTok or Snapchat.
Yeah.
But mostly Instagram. And what'll end up happening is I'm gone so much that it was like, oh, well, either, you know, fly her in to have it to date, or I'll catch her when I'm on the road. But man, it is feast or famine when you fly people in.
I would be so scared to do that, because then I assume they're gonna like stay with you.
Yeah.
And then if you don't like each other, then what do you be like? Hey, so I'm gonna buy you a flight home because I don't like you.
Yeah. The trick is if you do that, is to make the trip short already, and if you want to lengthen it, then you lengthen it. So it's like if somebody flies in, their flight out is the next day.
Yeah, okay.
But if you hit it off, you're just like, oh, just keep your flight, you know, that kind of thing. But
that would be so nerve-wracking. I had a guy, one of my guy friends on my podcast a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about how he was seeing this girl from another state, and she flew in, and he had never seen, this is so bad, he had never seen her chew before. And so then she's like at his house, and he realized that she's just like an obnoxious chewer. Mm-hmm. And then he got her a flight out the next day. I'm like, that's insane.
That's the case of the ick right
that's
there.
That's the ick. Yeah. Yeah. So I would be so nervous to do that. But I guess that really is, your options are very limited.
It's pretty much, it's like I'm never home, right? And Nashville's a small town, a real small town. And I meet a lot of cool people, and you just don't, and I've only had a situation where somebody was just a dumpster fire a couple times. They're usually just good people and we don't vibe or something like that, you know. One time I went up to kind of the Bay Area of California to meet this girl that I'd hung out with once, and it was terrible.
Really? And you had hung out one time before?
And we were going, she was a golfer, and we were going to go play golf at this really nice place. We played golf one day, and then the night sucked so bad. I left her at a house party that she invited me to, and I was just sitting there. I was like, all right, well, cool, see you later, because I had the rental car, and I changed my flight to the next morning.
It was that bad.
I put her golf clubs out of the rental car into the hotel room that I had. That was staying out. I was like, you can just pick up your clubs. It was that bad. I mean, it was that bad.
Ugh. So, I feel like it's bad enough. I mean, I'm very obviously just going on dates here. I'm not a world traveler, but I think it's bad enough when I'm stuck at a dinner for too long and they're like not catching the hint that I'm like, I don't want to be here anymore. To actually be stuck in a place that I don't live with someone would be, and I'm such a people pleaser. I think I would stick it out because I would feel bad like leaving.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of times, you know, in my opinion, it's, you know, if you can find a way to clearly communicate, that really solves a lot of problems. You know, most things are either vibes or people are missing or not on the same page about something.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like always, hey, this has been great. I gotta do the morning show tomorrow. I'm going to have to bounce, you know, or whatever. And it gets you an out, you know?
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Morning show's a great out.
That's true. I have to do it. But then they would be listening to the morning show.
I have to go produce the morning show.
Wow. Thank you so much. You're really giving me a lot of hot tips here.
And if somebody calls you on it, here's my thing. If you're polite and you tell whatever white lie to get you out of there, it's the lie is that you're getting out of the situation. The truth is you don't want to be there. And the lie is you're trying to be nice. And if you catch flack after that, if it's, well, I didn't hear you on the radio, then you say, look, man, honestly, I wasn't feeling it, and I didn't want to hurt your feelings by just coming out and saying that. We had a fine time, but I thought, but that's why I said that. I was just trying to let you know in a nice way that I wasn't feeling it. So I'm telling you now that I wasn't feeling it, and that's why I said that. And
that gives me anxiety even thinking about saying something like that. I need to get better. Maybe I'll just have you. Can you just pre-write some things from prompts for me?
Just have them call me and I'll break up with them for you.
Oh, my God. Perfect. Yes.
That's right.
Hey, so I'm going to give you this phone number. I just need you to call Matt real quick, and he's going to tell you what's happening.
Right.
That would be very nice. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. What is your go-to? Do you have, like, a go-to date if you want to impress a girl?
I mean, it depends. Like, I'm so many places all the time. I can tell you how you know that a girl does not want to date you, though.
Oh.
If you send a text to someone and say, hey, want to go see Taylor Swift, and they still ghost you, they are not interested.
Did you invite a girl to go to Taylor Swift? And she said no?
She didn't even respond. So
that girl is the worst.
No, point taken. She could have made me, I could have taken her there and we would have had a good time. But anyway, that's how you know. That's one good way to know.
That really is.
Yeah. If they're not interested in that, they're like, I would rather not.
Yeah.
Then, you know.
I feel like the equivalent for me would be inviting a guy to, like, Morgan Wallen or something and them saying no.
Yeah, or like, yeah, exactly. Like if UFC's in town.
Yeah.
Or something.
Hey, you want to go to WWE Slamdown at the Resch tonight?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I forgot what you asked me, though.
Your go-to date. Like, do you have something?
I mean, I've got, there's places I like in Nashville, you know, restaurant-wise. I can, you know, I don't mean this in the way that it's going to sound, but I can typically go to shows and stuff like that. So, you know, if you could take somebody to something that they want to see and, you know, have an experience there, like, you know, whatever, that's sometimes pretty cool to do. But honestly, just like it ends up just being the people, you know, the experience is a cool way to start, but it's like either vibe or you don't.
Yeah. I think the smaller, the better. A nice dinner is nice, but I said on a podcast a couple weeks ago, my ideal dream date would be in the back of a pickup truck, like bed, watching the sunset with like a picnic and wine.
Well, that, you know, an absolute, that's a great one. Great idea.
Hasn't happened yet. One day.
One of these days.
You know, it's cold here most months, so that's what I'm going to blame it on. We only have a small window to make it happen.
A small window of those things happening for sure.
Exactly. Absolutely. So, yeah, that one TikTok, though, is really funny. I just love that you responded to it because many people were commenting, like, who is it, blah, 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 and you just kind of made a joke of it because you picked her up and then the restaurant was closed or something.
Yeah, I picked her up and like three restaurants were closed that we tried to go to. It was Sunday night in Nashville. You would think 9:30 you could still go, you're supposed to eat, but yeah, it was fun. That was all in good fun. We hung out and had been, you know, sort of friends since then, sort of, but
Hey, listen, shit happens. What are you gonna do? Restaurants close.
Restaurant, and we still
and
had
it's
a
good story,
and we still had a great time. And you know, I'm the kind that like I don't. It wasn't like she wasn't doing like a documentary on the thing.
Yeah.
It was like she took some liberties on some parts of the story. And I'm cool with that. Like I can roll with the punches. Later on, she did a different like video that was a little less like
funny.
Yeah. A little less like and a little. And so I was just kind of like, you know, the first one was funny and we hung out and had a great time. And since then, too. And she has a good sense of humor. So sometimes you got to watch out, you know, when some people have, like, sometimes people don't take jokes as jokes.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Do you ever worry about, like, people making videos like that, but they're not joking? Like, exploiting you? Do you ever get worried about that? No.
You can only just kind of worry about, you can just only sort of handle what you can handle.
Yeah, that's true.
And let the rest, you know, it's kind of like caring about the opinions of people you care about and then kind of letting the rest fall to the wayside if you can. I mean, that's how I deal with it.
Yeah.
I'm not like, you know, I get recognized a time or two, but not really, you know, it's not like the level of some of these people, but like, honestly, you know, whether you get recognized or not, you just be good to people and go on and somebody's always going to have a problem.
True that.
And you can't please everybody. So you might as well just, you know, try your best and let it go.
People just want to be angry. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to end on, you said you have a new album coming this summer. The song obviously drops tonight.
Yeah.
But you have a full album coming this summer?
Yeah. Born Lonely, the album is coming this summer, June 7th. It drops right during CMA Fest week. And I'm really proud of it. You know, it covers covers the gambit of you know, love, loss, stuff I've dealt with, fun things, and you know, just kind of all of life, which is what country music kind of does. And I just really challenged myself to tell the truth and to be myself, and I'm really, really proud of it. I can't wait for people to hear it.
How do you choose what songs to go on there? Because you have to write so many songs.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of choose themselves. You know, there'll be some on the periphery that'll be like, you know, sort of things that I really love. And then they'll, you know, I try not to compromise too much, but also I'm around people that know a lot about songs. So I will defer to them on some things to make the project better. But everything starts out with songs that I at least like, you know. And if I love something like Born Lonely, you know, that becomes the thing that everything's built around. And so, yeah, I just try to not be stubborn, and I try to listen. But then at the end of the day, I try to have my fingerprints pretty heavy on it.
Well, yeah, because it's like your baby. You want it to be to portray you and where you're at in your life at that moment, I'm sure.
For sure.
Love it. All right. Well, June 7th, the new album, new song tonight. Everyone go listen to it. Stay up until 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And you can check out the Facebook Live of you performing it this morning on our Facebook and all that good stuff. But thanks for hanging so early in the a.m. It's not even 9 a.m. yet.
Not even 9.
Wow. Look at us. All right. Thanks, Matt.
All right. See you.